Y'all, this is Ivana Walker with Ivana's Thoughts, and today we will be starting our Young Entrepreneur Series. And today we have a very special guest. I have known her for about, 10 years?
That's a decade.
It's been so long. I met her in college. We both went to Armstrong, and we've followed each other ever since. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I am Rodrika Bailey Scott, owner and CEO of Bailey's Bells LTD. It's a vacation rental cleaning company here in Savannah, Georgia, where me and Ivy first met. She actually was one of my first friends in college. So it's really special to be invited here on your platform. Ivy, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Would you give them your contact info and how they can reach you?
Okay, great. You all can follow me on Instagram. That's where you'll see everything I'm doing, the type of properties I do downtown. It's at Bailey's Bells, and Bells is BELLESLTD. And on Facebook, Rodrika Bailey Scott.
All right. Like I said, I'm really excited about this because we have not talked in a very long time. And it's so nice to be able to see everything that you've done in your growth. So let's get right into business, right? I want to do this series to kind of put the people that I care for and all that they are doing out there for my listeners to kind of get to know you. So let's talk a little bit about what your business story is. So, like, what is Bailey's Bells? And what do you do specifically?
Okay, great. That's no problem. Bailey's Bells really just starts and originates with Armstrong. And as Ivy stated before, that's our college that we went to. You can see my diploma back there, my degree. I don't play about it. I love Armstrong because it brought me so many friends, so many mentors, good connections that really have opened doors for me along the way. And that's how my business actually started, from a professor that's actually a mentor and a good friend of mine. And she needed a favor. She had her and her partner, they had properties that they were using on Airbnb. This is when no one even knew what Airbnb was. Now it's a big thing and everyone knows and wants to do the home away. But in 2013, 2014, it was still fairly new and people were kind of still tooting their nose up at it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So her and her partner had a duplex they were using for Airbnb. And while they were out of town, they asked me to kind of cover the cleanings because, you know, they needed someone they trusted. I'm a good cleaner, but I'm sure at the time I wasn't thinking about it being a business. They weren't thinking about it being a business. It literally was like, you know, we need your help. We need a favor. And I said yes. And so it kind of built a relationship where whenever they would go out of town, would ask me to help. And so after a year, they decided to open up both sides for to use for vacation rentals. And they asked me to come on, and I told them, you know, well, it can't be a only when you're out of town thing. If you want me to be in this, then it needs to be, this is your lane. This is when you all get bookings, this comes straightly to you. Not some, you know, sometimes a couple, like I need all of them. And they agreed on that. And it's been like history ever since. And so it started out as a side hustle. Mm-hmm. Just part-time, I needed some extra dollars. I was a single mom, teen mom. And so it was tough. So I've always had about 3 or 4 hustles just to make sure I could keep things going. So in about 2016, it just my partners, they had started accumulating so many properties that I had to kind of make a decision, you know, are you going to give this away to someone else, or you going to just go ahead and make this a full-time thing? And, you know, I had a reasonable job, a secretary at a church, you know, it was pretty stable. It was trying to give me some health insurance, you know, which in the entrepreneur world and the self-employed world, insurance is golden because, you know, you got to take care of those things yourself. So, but I let it go, and my boss, the pastor and the first lady, they all were very encouraging and understood. I still have absolutely great relationship with them, like literally talk to them every month at least, because you know that's the type of mentoring and friend relationship that and a counseling relationship that I have with them. So
Great.
I left in there in 2016 and went full time in the entrepreneur life.
How did you think of the name for your business?
I don't think that was on the questions that you sent me, but I feel like last week I was trying to think of that myself. And I'm like, what? I think I was just at work one day and hadn't really decided that this was going to be a business. This was going to be something that I was going to put and invest into. I think it was still just in my brain, just something I was doing.
Gotcha.
And I don't know. I was cleaning, and I think bell came in my head because, you know, you kind of ring a bell, and then the person comes and gets it done. And then I also like, so I played a word play and used bell, BELLE, which means beautiful. And
Wow.
so that's how I did that. And so it's Bailey's Bells, and I call all of my workers and contractors and my husband, because he works with me as well. I call all of them bells because we are all beautiful, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I thought it rang very well.
That is very poetic, I think, anyway. Like
Okay, thank
it's really nice. Like it's you know, 'cause sometimes it's just I just thought of a name and that's just what stuck, you know? And there's meaning, more than one meaning behind it, and that is really, really poetic.
Yes, it means so much to me.
You talked a little bit about how the idea of the business came about. And you also talked a little bit about taking that leap to creating a business. Now, what would you say kind of pushed you to really like go full force and put everything into it?
The main thing is that I wanted the flexibility and freedom to with my son. That's literally what it boiled down to. I wanted to be able to take him to school. I wanted to be able to pick him up from school. I wanted to be able to take him to practices or games. I wanted to be there to help him with his homework. I wanted to be in control of what would be possibly keeping me away from being his mother. Because, you know, like I said, I was a teen mom, and so through the second half of my high school career and throughout all of my college career, I was literally a single parent. And so it was really hard, and it took a lot. And so I'm working this many jobs, and I'm a full-time college student. And so I'm doing all of that. My son is literally here with me. I'm from Augusta, Georgia, so my main immediate family is 2 hours away. And you know, but I made it work. And school took a lot of my time away from him. And I wasn't, and so I made sure to make it worth it. And so I made those connections and really put in the effort to make sure that I was able to show the benefits of what I was doing by being in college full time, working full time. So made sense. And so I left the corporate America and I ain't looked back since.
Yeah, and I think that that can become really scary because that's you want to create the security for yourself and your family, but you feel as if you're secure already in that job. So taking that leap of faith is a strong thing to do and not something that many people do.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because you have a cushion. I mean, I struggled the first couple of years just trying to wrap my head around how much taxes I had to pay just because I was working for myself.
Yeah.
I just could not understand. Wouldn't you want to encourage this? So why are you putting this much on me? If I go work for someone else and they pay the taxes on it, why I can't, if I work for myself, something either I shouldn't have to pay for the taxes because I'm working for myself, or someone, or it should be, I don't know, it just ain't right.
Yeah.
Self-employment tax is not right.
Yeah.
But you just learn to deal with it because, oh, you learn to plan for it. Actually, you don't learn to deal with it, you just learn to plan for it.
Now, starting off, what were your goals for your business? Like, what were you trying to achieve?
Starting off, I wanted to, my main thing is I wanted to give the same thing I have for myself to other women specifically. I've worked with men and women. I've worked with, excuse me, different races. I've definitely worked with different ages. It's just, but my main focus has been working with women that have children and they want to make sure that they're available to their children, but still get paid regularly and good pay. So that was kind of my goal. And so I kind of stayed on the homeowners that I work for. I stayed on them heavy about paying me more because I needed to be able to pay my contractors and the people who work with me a good amount of money because I felt like it was important. Because if it's not something that I would be okay getting paid, I'm not going to pay it to somebody else.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I mean, and that's great because there's a lot of places that are based very low income businesses and low income jobs that a lot of people, sorry. That a lot of people work their behinds off
Right, the
day in
people
and day
feel like
out.
a yeah, they feel like it's menial, it's low skill. And I'm like, first off, this is grand skill because if it wasn't, you wouldn't need us to do it. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't cleaners are the we are the most important. And you know, because we're keeping people healthy, we're keeping your homes nice, we're keeping things clean and straight. And everybody doesn't do that. We all can admit that. We don't do it on a regular occasion. So, and when you do do it, you realize that it's work. So that's why you don't do it all the time, because you realize how much work it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So
kind of fall
why
short.
wouldn't you pay? Right. I saw someone post recently, like they didn't want to like clean their closet or something like that, and how much work it was. But then they only wanted to pay someone $3 to do it. And it was a joke or whatever, ha ha ha. But I'm like, that's where it's messed up in folks' brain, because something that you don't want to even do in the slightest, but you still would rather pay, you still want to pay someone else a little bit of money to do it, and you know it's something that you don't even want to do.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, 'cause I'm not gonna lie. Like there are times where I'm like maybe I should call someone to kind of get me back on track and kind of more organized and things like that.
Enjoy that. You know, a lot of
Yeah.
people we will feel like, you know, we aren't on housekeeper level, or you know, we don't deserve to have somebody come in our house and clean up. If that's what you want and that's what you need and that's not your expertise, there's nothing wrong with getting a professional in to do it, because if it's just
Yeah.
not what you if it's not your expertise or what you have time to do, there's nothing wrong with paying someone else to do what you need done.
And paying them well. key, paying them
Oh, add that
well.
in there now. Yes, that is very important.
I know a lot, like you said, your goals were to really encourage and give the opportunity to other women who have children to be there for their kids and have a flexible schedule and all that stuff. Have those goals changed at all now?
Yes, and that's one thing that you have to understand in business and being an entrepreneur is that you have to, things will change. You have to be able to adapt. You have to just stay fluent with what's going on. And so it literally started out as me, and then it started with me and others. And then it started, and then at one point I wasn't cleaning at all. I literally was just writing checks. That was it. And then I slowly came back in just a little here and there. And then a pandemic hit. And I couldn't give anybody anything if I wanted to. I couldn't afford it. I owed people because how I work is that homeowners will pay me ahead of the month for the scheduled cleaning. So when everything shut down, I had already been paid for what was expected to be done. So if everything's canceled, that means I'm in the hole. So if
Right.
I'm
So
in the
you have to
hole,
give that money back.
I literally I couldn't give out work because I was working for nothing to basically pay back what I owed. So it took me literally when things opened back up, it maybe took me, shutdown was in March, maybe till May, beginning of June. That's when I finally was like out of the hole. I was out of the hole. Like I wasn't working for nothing. Like I started being able to get paid again because I didn't owe anybody money.
And I can
And
imagine
so
how stressful that is.
oh God, it was unbelievable. Just completely unbelievable. It had me considering going back to corporate America. So that lets you know how serious it was after almost 10 years. I've been in this for 7 years, and I was considering like maybe I need to get a real job, as they what folks would say, so I could have some cushion. But as we all seen, even folks with so-called, real jobs, some didn't have cushion. They lost their job and money as well. So, even when things got stressful, I was able to be content in knowing that everyone was being hit on every level. Not being happy about it, but just being able to be grateful, or just being able to just be mellow, or just not flipping out about it, because I'm like, you're not the only one that's being hit and struggling through this process. So this is nothing that you did for this to happen. There's nothing you could have done to avoid this, really. So I had to, it took me all summer to make peace with that, really.
And that's hard. It can be hard because when you're used to something going a certain way and then change comes, it's hard to deal with, and it's easy to blame yourself when, like you said, in reality, there was nothing that you could have done to prevent this. There's so much that happened during this time, you know? That's
But yeah, my new goals, I kind of got pushed into that with the pandemic. And even after the pandemic, I still tried to go back to old goals, but it clearly just wasn't working out. It was it's I honestly feel like God just showed me that. He showed me how much money I was putting out and I could have been bringing in. And he also showed me and my husband, that how we could work together and get this done. So mostly everything stays in. So the new goal is definitely me and my husband working together. All of my contractors, I'm still in very close contact with them. If I have too much going on and I can't handle it, or if I'm out of town or something like that, my contractors still cover for me. Of course, I still pay them. I actually pay them a little extra just because they're not working for me regularly.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate their loyalty to me and understanding that to cover myself and my business, my family, this is what I have to do.
Good. Now, many people have ideas all the time, right? Like it's very common for people to talk about, I want to do this, I want to do that. But they do not know what to really do to start their business. So once you had your idea in your head, what was your next move? So like let's talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial process in creating Bailey's Bells.
Right. Okay. That was a process because, but I'm thankful because I have an aunt who's a CPA. She has her own tax professional business, Gwendolyn Randall Tax Services,
Shout it
if you
out.
didn't know
Yes.
that. She's been holding me down. I first off just always done my personal taxes, but when it came to business, she helped me out and let me know that if I was making more than $600, that was money that I needed to be reporting to the IRS. And so in order to report that, I needed to get a EIN, which is an employer identification number. And that's just basically to show, it's basically like a social security for your business, basically. And you use that to open up your bank account when you're getting insurance and your licensing. You'll need that number when you get work. Some people want to know just to know that you're logged in. But you also have to register with your state, get licensed. And so I did that, and I didn't do that immediately. I will tell folks, I always give this advice to anyone, all of my friends, take your time and make sure that it's something you want to do before you go into all this logistics and all this paperwork, because people will have an idea and 6 months to a year in, and it's absolutely nothing. They didn't get anything done. They didn't make any real money. And so now they went through all this paperwork, have these legal structures for absolutely no reason. And so I encourage people to see where you're going for at least 2 to 3 years. And so just to see where it is. I literally didn't lock things in with a license and my EIN until 2016, when I went full time, when I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So it was a little spotty here and there, but you definitely want to make sure that it's something that you're serious about, and not encouraging people to do things under the table. But make sure it's something that you're willing to put everything into before you go through all the legal paperwork and logistics of something that you don't plan to pursue.
Okay, so what usually pushes people away from starting the idea that they had is being financially able to afford to start. So how were you able to financially support your dream?
Like I said, I worked it I first off I continued my regular jobs before. Like I had my main job. I was doing hair. I would pick up at a store a job at a retail store or something like that, on top of cleaning. And I would just keep it going like that. And I just really used my money that I made to invest back into myself. So I would catch sales to buy the equipment that I needed. But a lot of the things that I needed for my cleaning business, because I stay specific to vacation rentals, I've been able to negotiate. which is a really big thing. You want to be able to negotiate your value and your worth. And so I've shown my value so much to the people that I work for that they supply the appliances that I prefer. They supply the products that I prefer. And of course, they'll be able to write it off on their taxes, but mm-hmm. it's not something that I'm concerned with.
That's but amazing.
Thank you. It's really a blessing, and I really,
yeah,
I really have learned I need to just add that in to my values, because people trust me enough to do these things. And so you and loyalty, trustworthy, and dependable are actually, it's actually our motto. And I know, and without a doubt in my mind, that is why my clients do this. Because they trust me and they know that I'm loyal. But for someone who you literally don't have an investor, because in this case, I have someone else. They're basically paying me to get, you know, the job done. Mm-hmm. You wanna network, check with your local SCORE community. It's SCORE. Check for the SCORE community, it's startup community in your city. More than likely they have one in your city, they may have one close, but they give you startup tools. They literally have classes that they teach you how to set up a business plan. They tell you different ways of funding. Like earlier this year, maybe last year, I went to a 17 ways to fund your business class. It was absolutely free. As I've just told you, I don't need anyone to fund what I have going on because it's being funded, but mm-hmm. I still went and I found out that how I was getting paid was one of the 17 ways to get funded. So I actually felt good about myself.
Because you did it without even having that information ahead of time.
Right, I was like, okay, great. So I felt better, but even before knowing that, I was still trying to find that information. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You can't just sit in your lap and wish and hope, you know, go to your family, go to your friends. If they don't, go to the next level. There is so much more outside of your family and friends, your network, the people you follow, just getting your word and putting yourself out there. But just the research. Research is so important, and it's free. It's absolutely free. You can't be lazy in this self-employed and this entrepreneurial world. You cannot be lazy at all. You have to be willing to put in the work after you're done working. And when I get home, I'm on my computer, I'm making my schedules. Before, I used to be researching how to start a cleaning business. I had a cleaning business started, and I literally still have a tab that's favorited and pulled up on my phone on how to start a cleaning business right now. Mm-hmm. When I have extra time, sometimes I'll scroll through and just read it just to make sure that I'm still in the game.
You have your P's and Q's.
That's how serious.
Very. Everything set out a certain way. That is great because, I mean, it's necessary, right? Like you said, you can't be lazy. You have to put in work, and that's really the start of everything.
Yeah, and doable.
Yeah. And how did you get to the point where you felt like your business was a successful one? Like, when did that happen? When did you feel like my business is successful?
Listen, that took a lot of late night getting on my husband's nerves. Do you hear me? a lot. It took a lot because in my mind, I'm just the cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And I should realize I'm a professional cleaner. I'm an expert cleaner. Mm-hmm. I'm a business owner. And it just really took, I don't know. From starting in 2013, 14, I don't think it was till maybe 2017 or 18 where I started feeling okay. And I think that maybe last year, I just got used to introducing myself as a business owner and stop saying I clean vacation rentals and instead say I own a vacation rental business. Like, that's two different, that's different things.
It There's is.
The difference between I clean vacation rentals and I own a vacation rental cleaning business. Those are two totally different things. And I had to realize that my words were, it was a difference. And so it took that. It took me just realizing that, see what everyone else has going on and how their businesses are, right? You look at yourself and, well, I'm not on that level. Am I this or that? And it's just like, you're not on that level because you're your own level.
Right.
No one can be your level and you can't be anyone else's level. So once I just saw that and I actually had to get out of the stereotypes of a cleaner, you know. So, wow. And even now I still struggle. I want people to know that it's always a process.
How did you build a successful customer base?
Word of mouth is literally how I have grown from day one. My first clients, they literally will brag and tell anyone else about me. And that's what you want to do. You want someone else who's going to sell you to other people. Let them do the work for you. And so when you be the best client, when you're the best to your client is going to just do the work for you. They'll refer you out. And so I've been able to get most of my business from word of mouth, from people seeing the ease and the peace that I bring to my clients. And so they come searching for me, willing to do whatever and letting me lay down all the rules. And most of them already come knowing the rules because, again, your previous client has already gave them the rundown.
Yeah. And that's great. That really is. That's amazing. And I think that's all part of networking, right? Making sure that know your value, you know what you bring, and you show that by doing your best, and then they see that. So that's, yeah, wow.
Yes, your client is your best recommendation. Mm-hmm. They're just your best everything. So treat your clients right. Give them the best customer service you can, because if you do, they won't shut up about you. And so, but other than that, I've done, again, the research when I needed to find more properties. Just every venue or anything you can think of, I would search on where vacation rentals, what type of sites were on vacation rentals. Even I would go on Craigslist. I found a cleaning on, like, babysitting websites. Like, you have to do the work and be willing to put yourself out there in different ways, and what you're looking for will find you if you put yourself out there.
Now, you said you do the research, like finding other places where your customers or your clients are not, you know, part of that process. So, like, how do you market your business when it comes to situations like that where you go somewhere new?
I'll say that you just need to, the best thing to do is come off knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. You want to just come off as if you know what you're talking about in your profession. When I recommend people going on making your Airbnb or VRBO where they do vacation rentals, you know, send host a message, you know, check their reviews. If you know that if you see someone who's not getting the best reviews, they're prime target to go send a message to. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go on there and go to the best house that you see and ask them, can you clean it? Clearly, they don't need your help if they're the best on the list. So you have to be smart in your research. I've literally posted things on Craigslist and every section just to, you know, and someone will find you in some type of way. I'm telling you, you just have to be very particular. That's one thing my poppy, my grandfather, always told me, is just pay attention to the particulars. And so everything that I've done in business, I've tried to be very detailed and particular in the things I'm looking for.
Now that you feel that you have a successful business and you're continuing speaking life into that, what challenges did you face while building a customer base or marketing your business?
I think that I'm trying to figure out what my biggest thing is. My biggest struggle was workers.
Okay.
It was getting me contractors, because I use contractors, which is you give a 1099 tax form to them if you pay them over $600 or more. And so they're basically like you. So you're just doing the same thing you would do for yourself for them. And so it's hard to find people who are really serious or want to work. I would get a lot of emails of when I would put them out for work and I need this and that. And I would go on interviews and then I would do a working interview, and people just can't handle it. People think they want to work, and then when it's time to work, they just lazy. And so, finding people to work with that's on your biggest level is was my biggest struggle. Other than that, I'm really blessed at how things are going, but that's literally because I'm putting in the work that goes along with it. I literally would plan every 6 months. I need to get back on that. But I have a rule where I would plan my next 6 months as a step, so that when I was living in the next 6 months, I could make the plan for the next 6 months. And so it's hard when you're trying to explain it. So right now, I'm living in 6 months that I planned 6 months ago. You understand what I'm saying? And that is the truth. I give myself a pat on the back because I said I needed to do that. But 6 months ago, when the pandemic was still how it was and work was iffy, I said, I'm going to do this. I want to make sure we get in this house, and we're going to make sure Dana is in this school. We're going to do that. And right now, I'm living in those 6 months that I planned 6 months ago. And so right now, I need to be planning my next 6 months.
Yeah, and that's really hard to do as a as an educator. I planning ahead is something I do often, and sometimes it's a struggle, you know? Like you said, things change and it's hard to adapt to those kind of changes and stuff. So sometimes I'm like, do I really want to just plan ahead or should I just let it be? But in reality, planning ahead is the better option.
Yes,
Always.
because your planning ahead makes it be.
Yeah.
You don't have to be very detailed in your plan. Just a few steps or goals. I want to be here. I want to save this amount of money. I want to have another property, or I want to make sure this or that. And right now, I am in a phase where I'm trying to transition out of just Bailey's Bells, because I already have it under control. So now I am working on branding myself as a whole, as Rodrika Bailey Scott, as a whole, as the name, as the person. Because you already know I offer so much more than
Of
cleaning, as
course,
far as
yes.
as far as being vocal about a lot of things. So right now I'm really stepping out of that, and so that's what my I'm literally, that's what my 6 months that I'm planning right now. I'm in a class that's working on building my brand intelligence and valuing what I have to offer and put out there.
Now, like you said, I see that you do basically everything. You really do. And following your stories and stuff, I'm like, wow, like she is everywhere. So like what does a typical day look like for you?
A typical day is waking up early to get my son up for school and either deciding on if I want to hurry up and try to go to work early before the meters start downtown, or if I want to wait until lunch, which this is what I'm able to do, I'm very thankful for. But most times I do have a plan, and checkout is about 11 o'clock. So most times during 11 to 3, I'm pretty busy. I'm working, I'm trying to get as many cleanings done as possible. When after my husband gets off his job from UPS, he meets up with me either to help me out where I'm at, or he goes somewhere and does another cleaning that I have him scheduled for. So we're literally cleaning. Right now, I think we have nine properties, nine vacation rentals that we clean between the both of us.
Oh,
And
wow.
so that's a lot, because before I before the pandemic, I had 12 properties and I had up to four contractors.
Oh, so basically,
And
it's like all on you two.
yes, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So before, just imagine needing four contractors to run 12, and then now just going down to nine, and but two people are running it. And
Wow.
so so we're cleaning all day, just trying to knock it out. Checkouts can be any day of the week now, especially with the pandemic. Before
Yeah.
the pandemic, it was, you could really tell when people would check out Sundays, Mondays. It was really predictable. Now, with everything being virtual, you can work anywhere, you can go to school anywhere. People are traveling different times of the week. They're staying long, they're staying short. It's just,
It's not as
it's
predictable.
how much? Not at all. So, literally, anything can happen. And so, me and my husband just have to stay ready. So,
Gotcha.
I'm cleaning with that, but now my son is doing virtual, so I try to be home. I'm trying to make myself available at home, and I try to wait till he's out of school to go to work, because if he has a question or something like that, it's easier for me to answer if I'm home versus over the phone. And so again, I'm reaping the benefits of what I started for in the beginning to be able to be available
Very good.
to him now, and switch up my schedule where need be to make it work. But a lot of cleaning, making the beds, bathrooms, kitchens. And when any of my clients go out of town, I kind of pick up whatever else they do. I have some clients that they have courtyards that they blow the leaves and take out the trash. So and pull the trash bins by the road. So they actually pay me to do that while they're out of town. So again, I appreciate that my clients don't you doesn't abuse me.
Right.
You know that if they asked me to do it, I would do it, no problem. But they were willing to pay me for my time. So that's important in business too, to know that everything that you do, you should be compensated for. You should be, and don't feel bad about that.
Yeah. And as you should, because you do a wonderful job. You really do.
Thank you.
I look at your stuff, I'm like, wow. So what products do you use? And like, 'cause I definitely need to do that at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I love to see the clean after it's done. I really enjoy it. It looks, I mean, yeah. I'm
Yeah.
very particular. I am very particular, so
Yeah.
I detailed, and so I like for things to shine. My favorite green cleaner is Seventh Generation. It is my absolute favorite. I love the smell. It cleans very well. I like the way it sprays out. Like, these things matter, people, the way it sprays out,
Right.
the way that it smells. the mixture of it, all of that matters. And seventh generation has that on lock. It's
So,
my, yeah.
basically, they need to go ahead and sponsor you and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I
Since you use
mean,
it
they
so
really
much.
should. I'm telling you, because if you see the work that I get done with seventh generation.
It is amazing. Like you said, I love seeing like the before after. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need my tub to look like that. So you talked about what your day looks like. So let's go more into specifics. So like how many hours are you working like on average?
I'll say on site working, I'm working 4 to 5 hours a day. So I'm not working a lot. That's why I very much enjoy what I do because the checkout time, think about when you go to a hotel and the time between your checkout, your check-in. Check-out is at 11 most times, and most times you can't check in until 3 or 4 o'clock. And so those are my working hours. And I think that that's prime because first off, I don't want to be out during lunchtime anyways. So great that I'm working and I'm out of work before the sun goes down. I really enjoy the hours that I work. So I'm probably on site working about 4 to 5 hours. And when I'm at home, I'm definitely in my calendar and in my emails at least 2 more hours. So I probably have I try to do my managerial work, my computer work, because again, when you're self-employed, it's not like when you're at a business and you just have everyone has a designated job. You're the designated job for everything.
Yeah,
So
you're
you're
doing it
running
all.
yes, so you're doing everything. So I'm making the calendars, I'm going through the updates. I gotta make sure I pay attention to who cancels and who just booked, and if someone's leaving and coming in the same day, and who's going to be here for this amount of time. I need to leave some extra tissue for them. It's just so much. And those things matter to my clients because they don't have to worry about those details. They just shoot them over to me, and then it's my problem. You know what I'm saying? So when I come home, I update that, and I'm in the bed by 9 o'clock with my son, and like he goes to bed, and I'm usually in bed before him. He comes to tell me good night because I go to bed, and so because it's important to get your rest, very important, especially in this. So no matter how your time works, if you work during the night, you need to make sure you find some time during the day to get some rest because you don't want to overwork yourself. I know that. I tell you that I've always had 3 and 4 hustles. Even still now, I still do hair. If someone calls me to do anything random, more than likely I'm there, even though I'm learning to say no, which is with a whole nother thing you have to learn in your niche of things. You have to learn to what to say yes and no to. If you know you have specifics, say no. Say no. I recently had to learn a hard lesson. I told my husband, I said, we're just going to do vacation rentals. But when friends or family sometimes will ask me to do a move out or something like that, I do it for them because I don't like people taking advantage of. So I usually do it for them. I said I was going to stop doing that. And then someone asked me to do it right after that, like a couple of weeks later, someone asked me, and I said yes. I should not have done that. I was so miserable after cleaning that house that
See,
I was
God will
struggling
show
to do
you. That's one thing I have learned. God will show you when you
real
said
quick. Like,
something. Listen.
yeah, I got you.
You just said that you're gonna say no. I need you to go ahead and go through with that.
Listen, I told you, I said I wasn't, and I said yes. I made up for it, and I promise you, I have, and I've still been tested. I've still been tested with people asking me to do things outside of vacation rental. I'm telling you, every other week someone's asking me because, of course, you see my cleaning. Of course, you want to support someone you know. You'd rather give your money to someone you know. So I completely understand the support. But if it's not in my expertise, or it's not in your expertise, you should say no. And every time a test has come since that last time, I have said no because
Listen.
that ain't my lane. And you gotta make sure that we always stay in our lane.
What is your biggest fear, and how do you manage that when it comes to Bailey's bills?
When it comes to Bailey's bills, my biggest fear is that my clients will sell their properties.
Oof.
I haven't told that to anyone else except my husband. It's so saying that out loud is wild, but I literally have random times where I'll get my and it's, I will get myself riled up because I'm like, oh my gosh, what if everyone's just like, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is what your whole business is based on,
You know what you
vacation
do?
rentals. You can't.
You find another one because you're that good.
Okay, thank you, thank you. You're right. And so, and then I tell myself, you know, well, you could just go to regular cleaning, you know, if you have to. But I have been very blessed to be picky in what I do because I've been very specific in my prayers to God and my vision with him. I let him know from the beginning, from day one, when I chose Bailey's Bells, when I said that from day one, I said vacation rentals. I said nothing else. I said vacation rentals. I said this is what I want to do. Everyone has tried to talk me into other things. Family, friends have all tried to put their visions and whatever. And I know it's because they only want more for me and best for me, but I literally have succeeded because I've stuck to my vision and my plan that I initially set up with God.
Now, what piece of advice would you give someone who is trying to start their own business?
My first piece of advice is what I've been saying the whole time, research. Please, please, please research. I don't care. Look it up. Read every page on the first like 5 pages about what you just researched. I'm not playing. You can't do not just the top two, everything. You need to read everything. You need to read everyone's perspective. And then follow up with that. Follow and make friends with people that are in the industry that you're trying to be in. Look at those people, see what they're doing, watch their videos if that's the type of person you are. Read their books. You have to surround yourself with what you're trying to become. And so that's my biggest advice is surround yourself with what you want to become, and stick to the vision.
That's an awesome piece of advice. Now, Rodriguez, thank you so much for doing this with me. This was awesome, especially a great first episode to the series, which I am so excited about. Now, I want you to again let them know who you are. What is your business and your contact information? And then what you have coming up? What do you have going on?
Okay, cool. I'm excited because I'm really excited. Again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Even if you're just tuning in at the end and you need to do a replay, I am Rodrika Bailey Scott, owner and CEO of Bailey's Bells LTD, which is a vacation rental cleaning business in Savannah, Georgia. We cater to the downtown historic district area. If you want to follow me and see what I do, follow me at Bailey's Bells. That's BailyesBellesLTD on Instagram. And you want to follow me on my Facebook page, which is public at Rodrika Bailey Scott, and that is RODRIKA Bailey and Scott, which y'all should know how to spell both of those. Follow me on those. I show videos all the time of what I'm doing, the beautiful properties. Just if you love historic buildings, if you love garden areas, if you just really like modern things as well, just follow me and I'll show you all of that. My next things that I'm moving into, I'm literally working on being in a magazine. I'm cross your fingers that I'm on the cover,
Yes.
but she, I have someone, she wants to do a segment on me. Her name is Tia Acker here in Savannah, Georgia, and she runs a magazine called Resilient. And she reached out to me to do a segment in January called Keeping It Clean.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
I'm very excited about that. I'm excited about just showing you all other sides of me, like my poetry, a lot of my spoken word pieces, maybe even reading some of my academic papers based on gender and race. Who knows? I'm really ready to just give everything I have to offer to the world. So stay tuned for Rodrika Bailey Scott.
Yes. All right, guys, thank you for listening.